everyone. We have a new paradigm shifter with us today. And you know what her book is? It's Ha! I Laugh in the Face of Cancer. Hey, we all want to line up on that program. And that's the name of your book, and the name of you is Susan Liberty Hall. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Well, thank you, Veronica. I'm so grateful.
You know, I'm really excited to talk to you because you've gone through some explorations that a lot of us would like to know about. And do you want to tell people, like, you came from a long line of people with cancer, did you not, that had cancer?
And it was yes, that is correct. And everybody who has a family member who has had cancer will be interested to know, of course, that when we share that same DNA, there is always that possibility that we could get cancer. So when that happened to my mother, when she was only 62 years old, she died of cancer. And I came back from Japan where I had been living to take care of her, so I had that firsthand knowledge, firsthand experience, 24/7, the 9 months that she lived after being told that she had cancer. So basically what that did to me, as I saw her suffer, and I do mean suffer, horrific suffering with chemo, with surgery, with all that it entailed, I determined then and there that even if it was in my DNA, I wasn't going to get it. And that was a determination I had. So I began looking for natural alternatives to chemo, which is, you know, after all, it's mustard gas poisoning. It's what we use when we're at war with someone, when we want to terminate someone. It's one of the greatest and most insidious poisons known to mankind, and that's chemo. So I wasn't going to do it if it happened to me. So I began looking for other things, other alternatives for cancer. And then I found Young Living Essential Oils and my mentor, Gary Young, Dr. Gary Young. And that was important because I wanted to be sure that I had a healthy lifestyle to really not just have a remedy that would help me, not just a protocol, but that I was doing everything that I could to also avoid the dreaded cancer. And it wasn't done in fear. It wasn't done in a fearful anticipation. It was done with the full understanding that I could empower myself to overcome cancer by doing those things that I knew would be helpful. And that's what I did. So,
wow, this is very exciting.
Yes. And then in April of 2012.
Hang on, Susan. I want to ask you something. What kind of work were you already doing? Were you not in the healing mode already?
Well, no. My background was I was in the glamour business. I was a Playboy bunny in London. I was a Playboy at the casino there. Hung out with that international crowd. And then I was also a bunny in New Orleans. When I moved to Japan, I was a model. My son Brandon, was also a child model in Japan. We were having lots and lots of fun. I was also involved in the Playboy Club in Japan. And then my brother, Jerry Buss, the late owner of the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team, and my beloved big brother, he owned the Phoenix Playboy Club. So I was always in glamour and modeling. I had a dancing, I was a dancer. I had my own dancing crew. So it was that kind of past that I had. And then when I kind of grew up and realized, wow, after 28, I can't do that anymore. You know, rude awakening. So, but I was a mother, and I had been married, and I had worked in my husband's business. So I just had that kind of background. But when my mother died of cancer, that changed everything. First of all, I had a spiritual experience 3 days before she died. And this was a real wake-up call for me. And it really was what set the tone and the scene for me to go into an entirely different direction from all the glamour and the beauty and all of the, you know, there's a lot of ugliness that goes along with that.
Competition and tensions and all that sort of thing, huh?
This is, yeah. So I had to not just wake up, but I had to do an about face and to understand also that all of a sudden I had no way to make a living.
Uh-huh.
And I was divorced with a young child. So, you know, this was a wake-up call in many areas. But this experience opened my eyes to and my the sense of smell, because I had a spiritual experience, a heavenly experience. And that experience sent me in this different direction. That is what made me interested in Young Living Essential Oils.
Well, tell me what the spiritual experience was. I know our listeners want to know.
Good. I'm so glad you asked. Thank you very much. I didn't want to impose it on you and our wonderful listening audience, but I hope you will enjoy it. I was sleeping in my room. This was 3 days before my mother died. And it was also 3 days before, it was right around my birthday. So this was about in the month of May. And so when I woke up to something strange that was going on in the room. It was still dark, but I felt this mist upon my face. And it woke me up, and when I opened my eyes and felt my face, it was wet. And I realized, I said to myself, I'll never forget, I said, it's raining in my room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It wasn't rain. It was a mist. Veronica, it was a mist, and it had a scent. It had a smell, and it was glorious. And as I sat up in bed, I heard these heavenly words. I don't know if it was just in my ears or if it was audible to anyone else. My son was with me sleeping there. He was a little boy. But I heard these words. This is the fragrance of the angels. This is the fragrance of the holy breath. And the whole room filled with the scent of roses.
Oh, wow.
Roses.
I love that.
Yes. And, you know, so that really began my interest in healing as it would relate to scent. And I started looking, and I realized, well, there's nothing that is available that isn't a chemical poisoning.
Well, now, how many years ago was this? Was this 2000, did you say?
Was way back in the 70s. This was in 1977.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this was before therapeutic-grade essential oils were available. So when I started looking to duplicate that scent, I could not. And I looked and looked, and I realized, oh, the only things that are available are chemicals. And I had to put my experience on a back burner, realizing that it had an important part for me to play, but I couldn't quite find it yet, not yet. So I began looking for the alternative ways of healing cancer, and I found out that that was pretty slim pickings, especially in those days. Now, you have to fast forward from that time up to 2012 in April when I had been diagnosed with breast cancer. I had two lumps on my breast, hard as marbles and the size of marbles. And my beloved brother, Jerry, called me, and he also had cancer, abdomen cancer. And at the same exact time, we both told each other the news. And it was very interesting that this would happen in that manner. So Jerry, who was a brilliant man, he was a PhD in chemistry. He was a professor at the University of Southern California. He had a brilliant mind in math, in business, in any and everything. He was extremely wealthy. And he, as the owner of the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team and many other financial holdings. So he could do whatever he wanted, of course. And he chose to do, surprise, conventional medicine. So he told me that he was beginning an aggressive chemotherapy, which it went to the pit of my stomach in a horrid pain as I heard that, knowing what our mother had gone through. And then he was going to follow that with surgery. And he asked me, when are you going to have your mastectomy and get on your chemo? And I had to tell him, Veronica, he was my big brother. He looked out for me, but I had to tell him that I could not go in the way that he had chosen. Now, this hurt his heart very deeply because he thought that it was a death sentence for me. Mm-hmm. But equally so, I felt that his choice was also a death sentence for him. And unfortunately, I was right. I was right on that one.
How long did he last?
How long
did he last?
It was 13 months. And it was 13 months of the most horrendous, I would not call it life. I would call it extreme misery and suffering. The first operation that he had following his first bout with the chemo, And he went downhill very, very quickly. His body could not tolerate chemo, and no one's body can. But he was especially sensitive to it. He was a sensitive being, and he could not tolerate that kind of poison. He'd always been very careful in his body never to take chemicals. He had that innate understanding of it as a chemist. And he was careful with his life and what he did with his body, what he ate, what he drank, how he exercised, what he thought. All of those things were part of his regimen for health. So when he first started that chemo and started going downhill very fast, it was no surprise to me. We'd been through it together before. But he thought, because he was so brilliant and had such command and was able to create from his brilliant mind, that he could turn it around. And if anybody could have, he could have. But even then, he could not. So when he had the operation, there was a medical error. That error was bad. They poked a hole in his colon.
Oh, no.
So the next 9 procedures and operations, I think there were 4 or 5 surgeries and 4 procedures, they called them, 9 in all, trying to correct the original problem, which was never corrected.
Because they can't really do that, can they?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I have no knowledge when it comes to medical stuff, nor do I have any faith in what they do when it comes to cancer, although I appreciate them so much in many other areas of medicine. But we're just talking oncology now, and cancer in particular. So,
did your brother get really depressed, or what did he? How did he feel?
Well, he was never depressed, because my brother had the ability not. He was so brilliant in his mind. He had a great attainment in control over his thoughts and emotions, more so than anyone I've ever seen anywhere, unless it would be a mystic. And he was, you know, in his brilliance, able to control things around him, physical and material things around him. That's the kind of person he was. But so he didn't suffer from any depression. He didn't suffer from any fear. He was completely confident in his program. And he gave the doctors everything he had. He did everything they had him do. So he was eating his Jell-O and having his little Ensure drinks and, you know, all and his candy and all the things that they, you know, they would have you do. So, yeah, there was no emphasis on nutrition of any kind. So it was bad from the get-go, and it got worse. And I was living in Phoenix at the same time, remember, I have an issue. So when I told him, dear Jerry, that I would not be doing chemo, then I had to ask myself, well, what am I going to do? And I remember saying to him, I said, Jerry, I know that you are brilliant, but nature is also brilliant, and I will be taking my chances with nature. That was the last thing I said to him about that. I went home to my house, and I thought, well, that having been said, what am I going to do? Because over those years, since 1977 and 2012, when this happened, 20 years before, in 1993, I did find, at last, the Young Living Therapeutic Grade Essential Oils and Don Gary Young. And by the way, those essential oils saved my life. Another horrible experience when I was younger. So I found Gary Young, and I began to listen to him, do his protocol. I did find the scent of the rose that had been given to me in my beautiful experience in my room so long ago in 1977. It was the Belgian rose. It was a therapeutic grade essential oil, and not just any essential oil, but rather Young Living essential oil, overseen by none other than D. Gary Young, one of the greatest aromacologists in the world. So I found it, Veronica. I found the scent.
Wow, and that was 30 years later, right?
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to be very patient. Actually, I've kind of forgotten. Actually, I'll never forget. I mean, that was the most beautiful experience. But I say, I didn't really think I could find it. I thought, well, maybe it's just heavenly, and I won't ever have it on the earth plane. But I do, and it is available through Young Living. So I was grateful, and I did have my life saved at that time, because in 1986, my second husband committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
But before he did, he tried to kill me. He poisoned me, and he took me by gunpoint in a car and forced us into a horrific accident that should have killed us both.
Did he
but
live?
But it didn't, but I suffered from the poisoning. He killed himself that next day with a gun. But I suffered from the poisoning for years and years. I was extremely ill. So I would crawl from room to room. I couldn't work. I couldn't even put two sentences together. My mind wouldn't work. The pain, the horrific pain of migraine headaches had taken its toll. And I lived in a dark room with no noise and just crawled from room to room because I was too ill to even walk. That was my life.
Who raised your son?
What now?
How did your son get raised?
Well, now he was pretty well raised by that time in 1986. He was like 16, I think, or something like that. So he was, you know, he'd had the benefit of my love and my tutoring and everything that I had to give. I was ever present as his mother, still am. But in those days, it was sad. I remember him coming to my room and knocking on the door, and I opened up the door and he turned on the light. And he brought a picture of me that I had, that he had of me several years before. And he cried and he pointed at the picture. He said, "I want my mom back."
Aww.
Yeah.
What a sweet
story. So Don Gary Young and Young Living Essential Oils gave him his mother back, gave back my life, and I got well. And I didn't only get well, I also had a business now. So I knew all about it. I was loving it, listening, learning, and teaching. So I've taught essential oils for many years. So it was somewhat of a surprise then in 2012, and I was diagnosed with cancer. But that having been said, my first choice for my remedy would have been to go to the Young Living Clinic in Ecuador. But it's very expensive. Like every other naturopathic clinic, they are very, very expensive. I did not have those funds, nor did I have, nor did I feel it was right to ask my brother for the money, because even though he would have given it to me, he didn't believe that I could be helped by anything other than chemo. So it really wasn't right that I would ask him.
But Susan, and what did he feel about the poisoning from your second husband? Did he feel, did he have ideas?
He never knew.
Oh, I see.
I never told anybody. You know, these things are coming out right now, only now, because as I teach and talk about cancer, people have to understand the emotional counterpart that it plays on getting cancer, that dis-ease. I'm bringing it up because I want people to know how desperate I was and how hopeful it is for them, because I was also sued for $1 million that my husband had stolen from our company. And in Arizona, which is a community state, I was liable for that money. Why am I saying it now? Because now it's important, because someone out there listening is going to say, well, nothing can help me. It's too desperate. It's too hopeless. Well, when you hear my story, then you're going to know there is hope. Oh, yes, there is hope, and there is transformation and transmutation, and it can happen, but you've got to have the right remedy. You've got to have the right protocol. It's not just faith. I know a lot of people who have a lot of faith, I mean tremendous faith, and when they go into chemo, just like my brother Jerry, who had a lot of faith in chemo, they're dead today. Not just faith. You have to have faith. Yes, you do.
When you,
you
were
have
working,
have,
after correct. Healing your poisoning and so on, did you work with any other people that had had cancer with your essential oils?
No, not really. It's interesting. People with cancer didn't really find their way to me until I got cancer, that law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really run into a lot of people who had cancer. It was not kind of like that. The people that come to me with that I would run into are people who had emotional issues, who just didn't feel well. They had chronic fatigue. They had those kinds of issues. And I was able to help many, many people, and continue to do so today with my company of angels. And I have many, many hundreds of angels that I have trained to do the Young Living work, and now they are also working with the Two Feathers Healing Formula, which we will get into in a moment, because that is how I overcame the cancer. Now, you're going to like, if you like miracle stories, you're going to like the next one, Veronica.
I love miracle stories, and so do my
ready?
Clients. Yes.
Are you ready?
Please.
Okay.
We are.
So here, let's get back then to the cancer. So when I came home and realized I could not do the Young Living clinic because I did not have the funds, it was devastating. I thought, oh, shoot, what am I going to do? And I do know protocols for the Young Living essential oils, And I do know they've had success with cancer, but it's very expensive. I mean, it is very expensive. So if someone has a lot of money, you know, I could give them that protocol, but it wasn't something that I could do. So I sat down and I did what I always do. I prayed. I pray every day in my life. That is the cornerstone, the center of my world. So I sat down and I prayed and I asked, I said to my God, oh, if you want me to live, if there's work that I yet have to do upon this earth, then show me the way that I can be saved. Show me how I can save my life. With that having been said, and I said it verbally and I said it out loud, I stood up, I walked over to my office, I went into the office, there was a cabinet, a file cabinet. I opened up the file cabinet, and under C, I opened up the drawer, and I pulled out a file that was marked cancer. Now, when I looked at it, I remembered, oh my heavens, that's a file that I made after my mother died so long ago, I had forgotten all about it. So I opened up the file. It was very thin because there was only one piece of paper in there. It was a flyer, and it said it was a Native American healing remedy called Two Feathers Healing Remedy. There was a picture of a man, probably about my age, I'm 69, and he had cancer, and he was talking on this paper that he had cancer, lung cancer, and he had a hole in his chest that was like a scar, and next to him in this picture there was a table with eight tumors on the table that he claimed had been taken out of his body using this Native American healing remedy called Two Feathers.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is shocking. You know, I'm looking at that. I didn't remember anything about it, even though I had put it there. I just, you know, it's I do have a problem with memory sometimes, and it is because of the poisoning, although limiting essential oils of peppermint have given me back my ability to think clearly. Thank you, God. I'm so grateful. But I had forgotten that. So I looked at it. There was a phone number. And there was a man, and his name was Robert Roy, and he was the distributor or the client of the healing remedy, so I called him. And I
hang on a sec, because our phone is garbled. Hang on one sec, and then repeat that again, because I think there was a universal glitch.
Oh, yes. Well, are we back?
Yep, we're back.
Okay. So there was a phone number on this flyer, and it said Robert Roy. He was the distributor of the healing formula, and I called that phone number, and I remember thinking, well, after all these years, I wonder if someone will answer. And then I caught myself thinking, well, if God gave me this remedy, of course he's going to answer. And he did. He answered. And I told him about my situation, and he gave me a protocol. He explained to me that he couldn't prescribe. We have to always remember that. But I bought a bottle of the Two Feathers Healing Formula for $134.95. And he sent it to me immediately, and I began that protocol. That protocol is very simple. I took two capsules internally daily. That's what I did, two capsules. I knew that it was working within 14 days, because 14 days, on the 14th day of taking this two times internally, one of the two tumors on my breast collapsed. I woke up. It was gone. I couldn't see it. I couldn't feel it. That hard marble was gone. Three days later, the second tumor, which was also like a marble, collapsed. It was also gone. I couldn't feel it either. So I called Robert. I was very excited. I said, Robert, what is it? What does this mean? He said, it's good news. He said, it means that the cancer is probably dead and it's not attached to your living tissue anymore. This is the time that you will take a little bit of formula and put it on the tumor site where the tumor had been.
Okay.
Of course, I listened to him, and I put it on, and within 3 days, it opened up a wound. Now, we have to say at this time, it's important to know, it hurt. It hurt a lot. We were talking about a wound that opens up, and underneath the wound, I can see the tumor.
Wow. How was that? Was that scary?
No, I'm not scared. Ha! I laugh in the face of cancer. I already know I'm going to be okay. God gave me the remedy. There's no way I could be afraid after that. And that's what I want to make sure everyone listening understands. Neither do you have to be afraid. We can all laugh at cancer together, and I'll help you too.
Okay.
I've got my email address in my book, my protocol, everything I did, every sad or difficult thing I had to face. All of it is chronicled in my book so that you can duplicate my success.
I love
so, no.
Wait a sec. Do you know what feathers comprises? I mean, what's it made of?
Well, it's 11 herbs and minerals. And if someone were to say, oh, really? I mean, is that all? But the way and the reason that it works is not because it has 11 herbs and minerals. Those are common ingredients. Why does it work? It works because of a prayer. Because the medicine man that was the creator of the Two Feathers Healing Formula received, and I'll quote Robert Roy and use his words, he said he had a download from heaven, a formula that was given to him from on high that gave him an understanding of how to combine those ingredients in such a way that when he was finished, it became an entirely different compound. It is different than the sum total of its parts, and that is why it works. So anyone can read, go online and see, you can see the ingredients, but that is not what makes it work. This is something that was from heaven, a gift from heaven, and it's wonderful that the Native American Indian would be given this for their great devotion and understanding of the power of their Earth Mother and their love for nature.
It is
great.
So how long before your process, this is a very, very touching story, actually.
How long
before your process, you knew you were free? I know you already believed that you were going to be done with it anyway, but how long were you physically free?
10 weeks.
Wow, that's incredible.
10 weeks. And I'll tell you how I knew that, because that's a very important part of the story. And everyone listening, I'm hoping they will understand the importance of duplicating what I did so that they can have that success. On the other hand, if someone is interested in chemo or conventional medicine, I do not want to influence them in any way. I want to make sure that it's understood. I'm only interested to help those people who are not interested in chemo and conventional medicine. This is something that I did. Understand this, how important this is. I did this by myself without a doctor for $150 a month.
And your friends, did they support you? Did you have anyone supporting you?
Well, there were some people, including my own family members, that thought I was crazy, that I was stupid, were not respectful to me, many things like that. Some of my friends who truly love me were really worried. They didn't believe it. Even though if you go to the website, www.healingformula.net, and see hundreds, maybe thousands of testimonials with pictures and photos, the same kind of photos that I have. I have in my book a picture of 18 tumors that came out of my body using the Two Feathers Healing Formula. 18. Now, I did this by myself, so imagine this is a do-it-yourself at-home project. It doesn't involve a doctor. No. So that's the empowering part of it. And they would like us to think how complex cancer is. I'm sorry. It's not complex at all. It is so very simple. All it really requires is the love of your own self. And do a little bit of the homework and look into it. Read my book and study and look and see. Because I must say this, and this is important. I knew a lot of people. Ever since I got cancer, God has sent me many people. You can't imagine now how many people come to me who have cancer. They find me. And so many people said, well, you know, I just don't like the idea of a tumor coming out of my body. That's really icky. You know, they didn't want that. And so they chose not to do Two Feathers. And it's hurtful to me because they chose instead to go to naturopathic clinics. Well, I didn't know. I thought, well, okay, that should work. That should be fine. And in the beginning, that's what I thought. And they spent between $40,000 and $60,000 each one of them, and there were many, and they're all dead today.
Oh, wow. And why would you say, would you say there's a parallel way of treating, even though it's not chemo, it's suppression or whatever? What would you say is the reason for that?
Doesn't work. They don't have it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. The naturopathic, maybe there's some exceptions. Please forgive me. But I'm telling you my personal experience, that every single person who went to these very expensive naturopathic clinics in Europe, in Mexico, in Florida, all over the place, are dead. Now, maybe there's some exceptions. I'm sure there are. But, you know, I don't like those odds.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. So listen, let me jump back to chapter one. You were talking about cancer is a fungus, and that's not according to you. That was according to, let's see, Hulda Clark and
yes.
David Icke, right?
Mm-hmm. And yes, you all, that is correct. And many others, too.
Simone Cini.
There's many others who also agree that it is a fungus, including some of the naturopathic doctors that I love and that I know are astounding and amazing. So, yes, it's a fungus. In my opinion, it is a fungus. I looked at it. It was spongy. It looked like a fungus. It was a gray-white color. The color of the tumors in my book is a dark reddish brown mm-hmm. because the Two Feathers formula is that color. And those tumors had so much of the formula on top of them as I worked to draw them out of my body that they took on that color. But the other, the tumors, when they first come out, they were whitish gray. Now, here's something that's very interesting that you'll also like, Veronica. Remember the two tumors were the size of marbles, okay?
Right.
So I also had been to desert radiology at a mammogram and an ultrasound, and they had confirmed with a biopsy, which, by the way, does indeed spread cancer. And so though I had three tumors. Two were cancer, and one was benign. Then my brother, Jerry, beloved, insisted I go to Mayo Clinic so that he could at least hear what they had to say also. And so I did go to them, but I'd already been I was already cancer free by the time I went there to them. They had done an ultrasound and they did a mammogram, but they also explained that they would not do a PET scan. My brother wanted me to have a PET scan because that's what he had. Every few days, honestly, it was often they would give him a PET scan. But I already knew that PET scans cause cancer, and it was verified by none other than Mayo Clinic in Phoenix.
When
the head surgeon and I had two doctors with me, Jerry made sure I had the best. And they said, we here at Mayo Clinic do not use the PET scan because we know it causes cancer. It's 300 times more radiation than a mammogram. We don't use it. So when I had those two different tests done, they both confirmed that I had three tumors. So why then do I have 18 tumors come out of my body if those tests are so accurate? I really have to ask that question of them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, no answer. And in fact, I was told with great prejudice by the first radiologist at Desert Radiology in Phoenix, the information that he received, and he looked at those x-rays, he pointed his finger at me with a red face and a loud voice. He yelled at me, "You are dying of cancer. Get out and never come back. You're
Woo!
Dead.
Oh,
You're
wow.
dead." That's what he said to me.
Because you were using alternatives?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then he stuck his hand out and put his hand up like, after he screamed in my face, then he sticks his hand out and he wants me to shake his hand. So I pushed his hand away and I said, "No, you're not my doctor, God."
Good for you. Good for you.
So I'm not allowed to go back. My doctor, my Medicare doctor, also dropped me because he said, "Unless you do a mastectomy, don't ever come back here again." Mm-hmm. So the new doctor I have today with my Medicare doesn't know I had cancer. Why should I tell her? I'm afraid she won't accept me anymore.
Now tell me this, let's back forward, not for front forward. But
yeah.
Isn't it interesting that sometimes when, especially in the older days, when people have cancer, people walk away sort of shun as if it's kind of a contagious thing and they look the other way. Do you understand what I mean? People find it very hard to talk about it.
Yes, Yes, I do. And they have reason, because everything always turns out like misery. First you're tortured, and then you die.
Yeah.
So nobody wants to talk about it. They're scared to death of it. That's the fear. That's why I chose this title. Ha, I laugh in the face of cancer. Because fear is part of the dis-ease. I mean, it is a terrible thing to be told you have cancer, and then to tell them, then to hear you're going to have your body sliced apart, and you're going to be poisoned by one of the worst poisons in the world. And I had experienced many times that were so interesting, because to get back to the story then, so there's three tumors, right?
Right.
That the radiologists see. So there's 18 tumors that actually come out of my breast. And on the 14th day of taking the formula internally, and I saw that tumor open up, and it began to come out. So that within 2 weeks, the first tumor came out. I want to tell you about the first tumor. The size of it. Now, it looked like the size of a marble. And it was hard, you know, that's what I first had. This tumor was big. It was the size of a silver dollar. And it was the depth of 10 quarters, one on top of the other. Remember, as a layman here, I had no way to measure these guys. So I just took 10 quarters, put them on top of the other. That's how deep it was. So when that tumor fell out and I looked inside my body, here I have this huge, deep hole. There's another tumor under there. Another one. So I got my specimen jars, and I began to keep them. One after another, they came out. But even though I was cancer-free within 10 weeks, I still continued listening to Robert Roy, taking the two feathers twice a day internally as these other tumors came out. And even though the cancer was dead, the tumors were still there. The tumors from the cancer were still there, and we wanted to get them out of the body. So it took another 5 months to get all 18 tumors out, and they kept getting smaller and smaller until the final, the last one was like the size of a BB gun pellet, and then there were no more underneath it, and the body just closed itself up. I never got an infection. You know, it was uncomfortable. It hurt like heck, but I think of it as the rites of passage to earn my life and to earn my healing back, which I did.
Well, what did you? That's an amazing story. But what did you do for the pain, Susan?
I don't take any prescription drugs. I never have. You know, for the hormones and things, I take Gary Young's Progesins Plus and his oils. But what I did do then in that case, because it hurt like a son of a gun, so I went to my my homeopathic doctor, and I got a prescription for pain. And it was important that I have that. It helped me to have that. So I took it, and it cut the pain a little bit. It still hurt. Then I used the Young Living essential oils for being nauseous, because the Two Feathers formula will make you nauseous, because it's going to clean you up. You are going to be well when you get done with this thing. So I was sick. I threw up a few times. So I took the Young Living essential oil of peppermint. Peppermint tea is extremely good for being nauseous. Those are the kinds of things that I did. I did prayers every day to help me to endure, to do what I needed to do to earn my healing. And this is important. We have to be willing to earn it. You can't go to the doctor and have him inject you with chemo and think that you're going to somehow be well. No, I earned my healing. And it was beautiful, and it was glorious, and it was difficult, and it was wonderful. And at the same time that this was going on, I live in Phoenix. My brother lived in LA, and I would drive back and forth to him. Every 2 weeks, I would go and spend a week with him and then come back. I was doing my protocol throughout this entire time. I was cancer-free within 10 weeks, and he was just starting his horrible ordeal. And I remember that when he had his 27th day of radiation, I think it was the second time around, by that time he couldn't even move out of a bed or anything like that. He had bed sores. Oh, I can't even tell you because it's too hard, but it was bad. But I remember he whispered to me, he had me come close to him, and he whispered in my ear, "Susie, they are torturing me. Why would they do that to me?"
Oh.
Well, I couldn't answer that question. That was the last question he ever asked. I mean, I could have told him if he was well. I could have had all the fire in me to tell him, But it wasn't appropriate, and in that moment, I had to be silent and say nothing.
And you just had to love him.
I did. That's exactly right. I just had to love him. And I knew that, you know, he'd had a wonderful life. He died when he was 80, so he'd had a full life and a good life, and that helped me. And he has six beautiful children whom I love dearly, my nieces and nephews. So I still have a little piece of Jerry, thank goodness, and I'm especially close to Jeannie Buss, his eldest daughter, whom I love dearly.
Oh.
So anyway,
what can we learn about how to protect ourselves from cancer? What kind of, not protect ourselves, but you know what I mean? You've learned a lot about what it takes to get cancer. You know,
yes.
What have you
I'm glad you're saying that because it's important. And I brought up Jerry's children for a reason. My children, my grandchildren, I have three beautiful granddaughters. My relatives, my blood relatives, all have that potential to get cancer because of the DNA. Now, add to that the difficulty that we all face with the chemical poisoning and the state of our water, everything, all the chemicals that we put on our bodies with personal care products, everything that we're doing. So that even though I had been so careful for 23 years, and so amazing in regard to taking care of myself, I still got cancer. So it's not just me. It's all of my relatives. And it's not just someone who has cancer. It's all of your relatives. So we want to offer something for them. So, you know, the first thing I did is send each of my nieces and nephews a copy of my book. And I said, just keep this book. You know, keep it for 10 or 20 years. I don't know. But I wanted them to have the knowledge. Because what happens to people that are rich is they think that if they go to, you know, the best facility to get the best, then they're going to get well, and that's going to be it, and they're not interested in this. But I'll tell you what, that is a false assumption. Boy, I caution everyone to be careful about thinking that way. I mean, when I hear, like today, Cancer Institute, and they were talking, and you see this group of people and this people who have cancer, and they say, oh, this is so wonderful. I have a naturopathic doctor, and I have an oncologist, and I have a radiologist, and I have a nutritionist, and I have this nurse and that nurse. And, you know, you see them, and they're sitting at a round table with all these glorious people with, you know, doctors and renowned this is that. And they're feeling like, oh, I'm getting so much attention. And that attention is giving them a false sense of security. Mm. But it appeals to them because it is an amazing attention they get. But, you know, they're not the doer. They're not the one doing it. So the difference between what's happening out there and what's happening to me is I'm the doer. Of course, I'm talking about my physical being with the help of heaven. But in other words, I'm healing myself, and that's the empowerment, and that is the glory of this particular way. And by the way, Robert Roy has done this for 33 years. He's helped over 60,000 people. He's on the front lines, constantly in danger. He can't even use the word heal. He has to be so very careful. But that man has never taken one penny for all the counseling that he does 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm talking about 33, 34 years he has done this.
What a heart, eh? Well, it seems to me also that in your conversation, you've revealed a great deal, which is a lot of it is about toxicity, but also having the faith, the infusion of our own divinity or the connection with Creator Spirit. You know, I'm not preaching religion here, but I'm saying sometimes we have to have a much higher frequency relationship to life to move things through, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we can call it by whatever name. I mean, the American Indian, you know, theirs was simply that love of nature, the love of nature. I mean, natural living. I mean, it doesn't have to have the word religion. It doesn't even have to have the word spirituality, although those are wonderful words to use. I'm definitely interested in prayer constantly. It is a component of how I was able to overcome this. But we're talking about people, by whatever name it being known, take a command of your own life, do your own research, your own work, find a remedy that works, and be careful, because there are so many things out there that do not work, that look like they are just going to be glorious. You're going to be like in these fabulous naturopathic clinic, you know, and you think you're going to be having the time of your life, except that you come back and you, your cancer has grown.
Mm-hmm. Back to you, the scent of the natural, I mean, I'm glad you're saying that. It's just a little spooky sometimes because we think we can count on that. But back to the natural living oils, I know that scent bypasses, okay, so the assumption is that emotions underlie every illness or every dis-ease or even, you know, they underlie, you know, even our decrepitudes of various sorts.
Yes.
And so are you... conscious of that, is that something that you help people learn? And I know the essential living oils, the scents bypass memory, don't they? They bypass in
the
brain.
Yes, they do. Yeah. And the other thing is they bypass the ego. So if even someone has, you know, an egotistical or whatever name you want to call it, some kind of a way of blocking, you don't want to bring this in, just smelling it brings it in anyway. I mean, the smell of a scent is so astounding. Like in the mystical teachings, for example, of the Kabbalah, it teaches that the sense of smell is the only sense of mankind that cannot be perverted. It is pure and it cannot be perverted. So, yes, it bypasses the blood-brain barrier. It bypasses the ego. And you'll find that some people don't like the oil. They don't like the smell of it. And I mean, they are... they are very against it.
Is that because their subconscious is threatened, would you say? I mean, you know, I'm kind of being playful here.
Yes, it is. That's right, it is. It is very interesting, and I have seen that. But what they do, okay, so a lot of times we have, and all of us have this, but we have these traumas or these unhappy feelings or memories within us, and they're locked in there. They're in there. And this the sense of smell is the only way to get them out because it passes the blood-brain barrier. I have seen many people who smell an oil and have an emotional release that is extraordinary. And I have miracle stories to tell about that.
So it's like it busts open an emotional storage of some sort that you might have left for centuries. Is that right?
Well, yes, it is. That is exactly right. And you might not even be aware of it being in there. For example, the one I'm speaking of now, the girl that it happened when she was 5 years old. So this is the kind of thing. So the scent opened up that memory, and she was able to have it come out. Well, when it came out, it transformed her life. Mm-hmm. I mean, completely, totally, and absolutely. I don't know if we had time to tell that story, but... I want everyone to understand that, yes, it's this dis-ease, a counterpart of it most certainly is memory, negative memory, and negative trauma.
Yeah, tell that story. We have like 5 minutes or so.
All right. So I was working at Fit Camp where the professional girls come when they're, instead of going on a vacation, they go to Fit Camp, and these are the professional girls that you see on television that are athletes. And I was there to help them with pain because of their feet and legs, etc. But one night I had this little get-together with all the pretty girls there, and I was saying, instead of a chemical perfume, why not use one of these essential oils? And I passed around Young Living essential oils. One of them was called Joy, and it was a blend. And this one girl said, well, I'm not interested in the oils. I said, well, that's okay. I said, you can try it if you want to. You don't have to be interested in it. So she took it, and she liked the smell of the Joy, so she put it, and she said, where do I put it? I said, well, put it on your chest around your heart or your heart chakra. And she said, okay. And so we did that. We had a nice evening. That was that. She went home. Everybody left. And about 4 in the morning, it was still dark out, I get this pounding on my door. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what's this? So I opened it up, and there she was, this girl, and she's crying, and she's desperately crying. She said, that oil did something to me. I said, well, what happened? And she said, I don't know. I went to sleep that night, and in the middle of the night, I had this terrible dream. And she said, I need to tell you first what it's about. I said, okay. She said, when I was 5 years old, I had a grandmother and a grandfather that I loved dearly. And one night, God came to me in my dream when I was 5 years old and told me that one of my two grandparents was going to die, and that I got to choose which one would die and which one would live.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to tell God which one I would choose to die. And she said, I couldn't tell God which one I wanted to die, so I said nothing. I would not answer. And she said that next day, this little five-year-old girl said goodbye to her grandmother and her grandfather as they went on a trip in a car, and they were both killed in an accident that day.
Oh, my gosh.
Child had carried the memory for all her life. She was in her 20s, since she was 5 years old, that she had been the cause of the death of both of her grandparents because she wouldn't choose which one would live. And so she was crying, and she said in the night after she put that oil on that this terrible dark thing, just use her words, came out of her chest where she had put that oil, and that it came out of her chest and it hovered above her, and she watched it, and it was just quivering, and then it flew away. And she told me this story, and she was crying, you know, hysterically. And I said to her, I said, first of all, I said, do you think that God would ask a five-year-old child to choose between her two grandparents who would die and who would live? She said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, do you know that black thing that left you? I said, maybe, just maybe it was that black thing that had masqueraded as God asking you, this innocent little five-year-old, to make that choice and to bring such hell and misery and guilt to you all your life. She said, wow, I never thought of that. And then I said to her, well, your mom, your grandmother, and your grandfather, did they love each other? She said, oh, they were so devoted. And I said, well, you know, maybe they chose to leave together. I mean, maybe that was a plan that they had. And she looked at me, and this guilt just faded out of her precious, beautiful face. Her whole body language changed. And she was transformed, I'm telling you what. The grief was gone. There's an emotional release that we're talking about here, a memory, a trauma that was trapped in her. And deeper than that, we're talking about some very dark forces. But the essential oil, therapeutic grade, Young Living essential oil, was that strong that it could come and do that with her. And by the way, that blend of joy is a blend. Every time Gary Young does a blend, he does a prayer first. And he asks God to reveal to him the formula. Then the formula is revealed to him on how to combine and what to combine to bring about what he had asked for, which was joy. And what must be released to have joy? You have to be able to release the grief, the guilt.
That's for sure. Well, listen, I want to ask you a question quickly. I have, you know, I'm a counselor. I have a number of clients. And it sounds like rape, it would be a helpful thing for people who have been raped.
Oh, yes, indeed, absolutely. And in my book, I talk about the Young Living oils, and I give my website. I'm very happy to teach anyone who's interested in the oils. We have an emotional release that was taught to us by Gary. We have an oil that is specific for rape.
Oh, wonderful. What's it called?
Sarah, S-A-R-A, Sarah.
Well, I'm going to be in touch with you about that, or at least have some of my clients. But this is a very exciting thing, and in the healing world, I just know, for me anyway, it's time to really get into that as well.
So bless your heart, and please do, and I'll be so happy to teach you. And I've had these experiences for 23 years, and God has sent me these people. It's like every person that came, there was a purpose and for me to learn and to give the gifts of Young Living. And now we have two feathers.
I am just so excited. I'm so honored to talk to you. So what is your website? Give people some information so they can find you easily, darling.
Thank you. It is the name of my book, www.HAILaughInTheFaceOfCancer.com.
Great title.
Yeah, I love it. And you know it was given to me from on high.
I bet you it was. And don't you start off with laughter is the best medicine? Yeah, I think it does.
Indeed. Well, at first they gave me the title. Then I realized, yes, of course it is. It has to be the best medicine, and it is. It is. So definitely that's how you can find me. You can learn about Robert Roy and Two Feathers. You can learn about Young Living Oils. In my book, I have a protocol for cancer, but there is a book called Dr. Gary Young, his Essential Oils Desk Reference Guide from A to Z, every disease, every condition, every remedy that he has ever had. You don't have to study this. Just get his book.
Right on. Well, we're going to do that, and we're going to be in touch with you as well.
Veronica, I'm so excited, honey. Thank you. I'm just thrilled. This is the happiness of my life.
Oh, this is a wonderful, wonderful service you're giving to many, many people who are looking for it right now.
Oh, do I have one more minute?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I want to make sure to tell our friends in Japan, because remember I had lived in Japan and I felt very worried about our friends after Fukushima, and especially now it's not better, it's going to be getting worse.
Yes.
So I have my book translated into Japanese. It is available on Amazon Japan. It's also available in German. So please, if I have any German listeners or people who speak German or people who speak Japanese, please spread the word. I don't know how to do the promotion in these other countries. I'm looking for someone to help me. Please help me.
Well, I know a channel who goes to Japan regularly, so maybe I'll pass it on to her. I think that would help.
Please, and give her my phone number and my website or whatever would be helpful. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Veronica.
Well, you're a wonderful person to be serving. Not just a wonderful person, your role, your guided role is helping an awful lot of people, and I know that's what you're living for, isn't it?
My life, that's what I'm living for. I've never been so happy. I'll be 70 in May. I'm just getting started.
May what?
May 28th.
Oh, good. So you and I are close. I just turned 71 in May, so.
Well, you can't be serious. You're so young. I would never know. I think the voice tells a lot. Have you ever talked to someone who has an old voice?
Yes, and they can be 25.
Yeah, and that's not me and you.
So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, I've had the most delightful and heart-filling experience talking with Susan Liberty Hall with, ha, I laugh in the face of cancer. And this is Veronica saying, thank you so much for listening. This show will be podcasted on Wednesday or Thursday on my site, veronicaantwistle.com, on iTunes or Stitcher. Call me if you'd like a session. veronicaantwistle.com is my website. But also, get to Susan's website, which is, well, your website is laughinthefaceofcancer.com, and talk with her about essential oils and what is it called? Two feathers?
Feathers healing formula.
Yeah, boy, you have a lot to teach us all, and I'm excited about your role on this planet.
I'm so grateful that you gave me this opportunity. Thank you for your good works, Veronica. Blessings to you.
And blessings to you and to all you listeners. Thank you for listening. We look forward to your feedback, both of us. Good night.